Two Guys Weigh In Podcast. Paul Ramo, Mitchell Silty here. And we appreciate you tuning in last week with our episode one. This is episode two with Two Guys Weigh In Podcast. Mitchell.
Paul, good to be here.
Yep. We have a new sponsor.
Yes, we do. P.K. Egan's of Canby, Minnesota has decided to sponsor our podcast.
And we thank Corinne and the P.K. Egan staff there for sponsoring Two Guys Weigh In Podcast, our favorite pizza place, right?
It definitely my top for sure.
We were just there a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And we chowed down on pizza.
Yep.
Now we had a, what did we have?
We had
a large pizza.
Yep.
And we split it in half. We got my favorite on one side and your favorite on the other. What was it?
I got pepperoni and sausage on mine, and I think you had their German Polish.
Polish with a
Polish
sauerkraut.
German, I believe is what they call it.
Yep, with the sauerkraut.
Yep, and don't forget the button fries.
Can't forget them. That's your favorite appetizers?
Oh, yeah.
I like them crispy, though.
Yeah, they do have to be crispy. Yep. But luckily ours were when we went there, so very nice.
So we thank P.K. Egan's and Camby for sponsoring Two Guys Weigh In Podcast. And I found out something when I talked to Corinne that Michael Toll, the Camby Lancer boys basketball player, works in the kitchen, and he makes your pizza.
So not only can he shoot threes, but he also can make good pizza, huh?
Absolutely.
There you go.
So thanks, Michael, for I'd like to know how many pizzas he's made since he's worked there.
Well, I'm sure quite a few.
Yeah. All right, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things happening in sports, high school, college, pros. We're going to kick it off. What are we going to kick it off with, Mitchell?
We're going to start with our next broadcast for this week. So we got Mineota versus Lacaparo Valley in boys basketball on Thursday night. And then on Friday night, you and I are going to Castlewood, South Dakota to do the Dawson Boyd and Castlewood Warriors basketball game. That should be a good experience for us.
Yeah, a new experience. We're crossing the border.
Yep, that should be fun.
And they play quarters over there. And I know you've already did a little homework on Castlewood. What can you tell us about them?
Well, they're 13-2 now, right? With losses to Viborg, Hurley, and Hamlin in South Dakota. They have a victory over DeSmet, which is another ranked team in South Dakota. They have a 6'9 center. Lau for them?
Something like that, yeah.
Yep. And he's getting D1 offers, Division I offers to play basketball.
Okay.
Isn't he?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, so should be a good challenge for the Blackjacks.
And that's Friday night. And you can hear that right on KLQP 92.1 FM. And I got to give a shout out to the Dawson Boy girls. Last week they pulled off a huge upset, beating McCray 69-67 in overtime. And, you know, that was a big celebration the girls had.
Yep, that was a real nice win for Dawson Boyd. Good one to get. They've put good effort out there, and they finally got it to pay off for them when they win against McCray.
Yeah, this is how important free throws are. Claire Stratmon and Allie Essling made some clutch free throws at the end of regulation. If they wouldn't have made those free throws, because Brielle Jansen and McCray hit over a half-court shot at the buzzer to send it in overtime.
Yep, very impressive shot. Nice job by Claire as an eighth grader, right?
Yep.
Eighth grader.
Yep.
On varsity, hitting two free throws with the team up one to even, I guess you could say, force in overtime since Brielle hit that three-point shot.
Yep.
So, nice job by her.
And a fun win for the Dawson Boy girls basketball team. Let's talk about the Lacaparo boys team.
Lacaparo boys team played TMB last week, correct?
Yep.
A little bit of controversy in there. They can't decide whether they scored 100 or 98 points in that game. For the longest time, we heard it was 100. And then after some calculating was done, it just turns out that it may be, in fact, 98 points only that was scored in that game. What do you think, Paul?
Well, Coach Rademacher said he's going with the 100.
Well, that's a safe bet, you know. It was recorded as 100 first, so.
Yeah, they're going to go with the official book there. I think it was 98. But TMB, the other night then, McCray scored 100 points on them.
Ooh.
We'll have to ask McCray if there's little discrepancy there with that.
Was it 100 exactly?
Yeah, 100 exactly.
Well, I suppose.
So there you go. That was Lac Parle boys basketball, and then they fell to RCW in Renville the other night. RCW shot the lights out in the second half.
That's what I heard. It was hit almost, what, 10 threes, was
threes,
it?
10 threes, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's what we got for high school basketball. Let's talk about team wrestling. I just want to mention Dan Gunlison of Team United. They're state-ranked, a very good wrestling team this year. Dan Gunlison tied Bill Swaney for Montevideo for most wins, career wins at Montevideo High School. I think it was 175. So the next win, Dan will break that record.
Well, and you should hopefully be able to do that this Saturday when they wrestle conference, correct?
Yep. A big day in Dawson for wrestling.
Yep.
So that's Team United Wrestling. I believe they're ranked eighth in Class AA. So, and this is Two Guys Weigh In podcast. Paul Ramo, Mitchell Silty here, sponsored by PK Higgins and Camby. Mitchell, what else are we going to talk about?
So earlier this week, I saw ESPN produced an article. It was written by Kevin Seifert, who's an ESPN staff writer. The title of the article is How Minnesota Fans Have Suffered Through 32 Years of Heartbreak. This was an article that was covered how Minnesota has suffered painful playoff defeats in all of the major sports. And it goes back to 1991, which was when the Twins won the World Series. So 32 years of us just having our hearts ripped out constantly. It does not...
You put a lot of emphasis on constantly there.
Well, it happens, it seems like, every other year at least. The article does not... It did not count the Minnesota Lynx's playoff stretch from in the early 2010s, yep. Where they, I think they, what was it, six appearances and four titles for the Lynx. But it did not count them like towards the four major sports: hockey, baseball, basketball, NBA, and NFL. And then it also didn't include the Gopher Hockey's men's and women's teams going to the NCAA championships in hockey. But it just talked about the Vikings choking constantly. The Twins, had the longest playoff win drought in MLB. X amount of years.
Yep.
And then the Timberwolves, they have never really been good. They had, when Kevin Garnett was there, a couple playoff series. I don't think, did they make it to the Western Conference Finals?
One year they made it to the Western Conference Finals when Garnett was playing.
Yep. So that was their one year there, and then they haven't done much else since. And then for hockey, we were the North Stars, and then they got sold to Dallas. Yep. And then in Dallas, I believe it was a couple years after they were sold to Dallas, they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. And so the Wild come in, and we haven't, I don't know if we've made it to the Western or to the conference finals in hockey since then.
No, I don't think so.
Yep. And so, just constant, and we've been close.
Yep.
We've had chances, but we've just let it slip. I think probably the most painful one I can remember was when 2009, when the Vikings were on the verge of going to the Super Bowl and Brett Favre decided to throw an interception.
New Orleans Saints.
Yep, the New Orleans Saints.
When Brett Favre was, there was a gate.
Bounty gate?
Bounty gate on Favre, yep.
New Orleans paid their players to go after Favre and try and injure him, which,
that's
mission accomplished on their part, but... Yeah, that was rough.
Well, I can remember when I was 11 or 12 years old, I was living in New Ulm, and I was just becoming a huge Minnesota Viking fan, and they're playing in the playoffs. I think it was the Baltimore Colts at the time in a playoff game, and I was up in my bedroom. I had my own TV, and I remember them losing to the Colts, and I remember crying as a 12-year-old boy. I wanted the Vikings to win so bad.
I don't know if I've ever cried for a Minnesota team loss.
Well, I was 12 years old.
Well, that's fair, but I don't think I've ever done that. I've felt incredibly sad before, but I don't think I've ever gotten that bad before.
Well, let's mention Gary Anderson's missed field goal. Blair Walsh's missed field goal.
Blair Walsh missed field goal. Vikings last year, 13-4, got ousted in the wild card by the Giants. Yep. In 2017, I believe,
yep,
was the year where they went to the NFC Championship game versus Philadelphia, and they decided to not show up for that game, and they ended up getting blown out. You know, it's just the Twins, as we said, haven't done anything hardly. I mean, they got their first playoff win this last postseason against the Blue Jays, Toronto, correct?
Yep.
That was snapping the streak, and they also won the series, so that snapped that streak too. But
yep. All right, so that's NFL stuff going on. We'll talk about the Super Bowl in a little bit.
Yep.
Let's go back to college football a little bit. Small college sports.
College sports.
Yep, you have something on SMSU and Marshall.
Yep, so the SMSU Mustangs women's basketball team, 13-7 on the year, and they've won 11 of their last 12, and during that stretch they have a 10-game win streak. So good job by them on their part for getting those wins.
Yep.
And then their boys basketball team, 10-8, I don't think that really reflects just how good of a basketball team they are. On their one of their first games of the year, they played Northwest Missouri State, who has a bit of a reputation of being one of the top teams in Division II NCAA basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They went, and I believe they played at Northwest Missouri State, and they ended up beating them. And so that was their first win over a top-ranked opponent in program history.
Wow.
That happened this year.
Wow.
And then they've also lost to, or they've played Minnesota State, who out of Mankato, who on the season is 19-1 and ranked in the top five. So, and they only lost to them by four. So that was a, you know, it was a loss, but it wasn't a bad loss for them. And then Minnesota State Moorhead, who is also ranked in the top five, although they have a record of 17-3, they lost a couple games this weekend, so they could slip a little bit. But they SMSU lost to Moorhead by one in overtime, and so they got to play them each again.
Okay.
So it'll be good to see. I believe Marshall's next game, or SMSU's next game in Marshall, is against Minnesota State.
Mm.
So that should be a good game for them to have. And with their upset win over Northwest Missouri State, Cliff Cofield had 20 points to lead scorers for SMSU that year, or in that game.
You know, great basketball, great college basketball being played right around us here. You know,
yep.
SMSU, Brookings,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's close.
Yep. I mean,
Morris.
Even if you look at the recruiting from high school over the past couple years, we've had Paige Beckers. And then we've had Jalen Suggs, Chet Holmgren, Tyus and Trey Jones, the brothers that played at Duke. I mean, we've had some top-tier basketball recruits come out of the state of Minnesota.
Right.
Unfortunately, we just haven't gotten them to stay in the state of Minnesota.
There you go.
So, you know, if we can get that figured out, there's plenty of talent out there
mm-hmm.
that we can get.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking off the top of my head, how about Montevideo's Avery Coonan? Division One, NDSU up in Fargo. Avery's a freshman, and she's getting a lot of playing time. I think she had her career high 14 points the other day against Oral Roberts at Oral Roberts. And so Avery's Coonan's having some early success at Division One basketball.
Yeah, that's good and it's a local school too from Montevideo.
Yeah, and when she was a senior, she helped her team get to the state girls basketball tournament a few years ago. So that was kind of cool. So hats off to Avery Coonan there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's in Brookings. She'll be able to play in Brookings here first part of March, I think. So if somebody wants to go watch her play. So.
Looks like March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Their game in Brookings.
Yep. So close by here, so you can head on over to Brookings and watch SDSU and NDSU.
Yep.
And girls basketball and catch Avery. Mm-hmm. All right. Should we talk Super Bowl?
Super Bowl picks for 2 weeks from – or. I guess a week from Sunday, but 2 weeks out pretty much.
Were you surprised at the championship games, AFC and NFC?
I wouldn't say surprised. I'd say disappointed. Both teams I picked to win lost, so, you know, that's about par for the course. But the Chiefs, they played a great defensive game, and their defense has been top tier for most of the season. I think I heard the announcer say they've never given up over 27 points in a football, or a team has yet to score 27 or more points against them this year.
Okay.
So that's really been kind of their strong point this season.
Right.
They're usually, you know, a high-paced offense that puts up a lot of points, and this year they've had more of a, their defense will get stops and their offense just has to score enough points to get the job done, which is what they did on Sunday when they forced two red zone turnovers by the Ravens.
Yep. And I was cheering for the Detroit Lions, and boy, they just dominated San Francisco in that first half Sunday. Just dominated them, and then everything fell apart. Dan Campbell, of course, getting a lot of scrutiny of going for on fourth down a couple times, and cost them.
Yep, it did. And I heard they were running the ball really good in the first half.
Yep.
I mean, they couldn't be stopped running the ball in the first half. And then I believe I heard on First Take, they said Detroit only ran the ball 8 times in the second half. And one of them was when Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, for the Lions, he fumbled.
Yep.
And so, you know, was it because they didn't want to fumble it again? I don't know. But on the fourth downs, I believe they went for 2 in the fourth or in the second half of that game.
Yep.
The first one, I don't know. It should have been a completed pass. The receiver dropped the ball. And the Lions were winning at that time. So I don't really have a problem with them trying to go for it there. But the second one, San Francisco was getting back into the game. A field goal either would have given them a 3-point lead or at least cut into San Francisco's lead. So I would have probably kicked the field goal.
Yep, that's what everybody's
for that
saying.
On that second fourth down.
Yep. Yep. You know, but that's Detroit. They've done that all season long, going for it on fourth down, and they made a lot of them, but not that time.
Yep. And I like that about Dan Campbell. Yep. I like his aggressiveness going for it on fourth down. I think that's something you want to have, where if you know it's going to be 4th and 3 or less, you're going to go for it all the time.
Right.
I mean, that's something where the fans, you know, that's one of those things where if they do go for it and get it, the fans are like, well, we should have been doing that the whole time. If they don't get it, then it's like, well, why did we do that? So you can't really gauge how effective it is versus when the fans voice their opinions, because it's going to be different depending on the outcome of the fourth down.
All right, so early predictions. We can talk more about the Super Bowl next podcast, but early predictions for you? Chiefs or 49ers?
I feel like the Chiefs will get it done. It's hard when you got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It's hard for me not to pick the Chiefs. I think this is their 4th Super Bowl in 5 years.
Yep.
They've won 3 of them, I believe.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's hard for me not to pick.
Yep.
And not that San Francisco couldn't win the game. I think their defense got things figured out, and I think they can play at a high caliber to win the Super Bowl. I just don't see how you can pick against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I'm going to.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm going with the 49ers. I like McCaffrey and the 49er quarterback Purdy, and I think they're going to score a lot of points on that Kansas City defense. So we'll see what happens.
You think they're going to be the first team to score over 27 points on them this year?
Oh, really? Nobody scored 27 points
Nobody has scored over 27 points on the Chiefs this year.
Oh, wow.
That's according to what I've heard from the announcers on the broadcast.
It'll be close. We'll find out. The biggest question is, will Taylor Swift be there?
I have no doubt.
You don't like talking about Taylor Swift, do you? I brought that up just to irk you a little
bit. Well, it's not that I don't like talking about her. I just don't care about her. So it's not, I mean, it's whatever to me. But
she has a concert in Tokyo, Japan the day before, I think.
Yep.
And so everybody's wondering if she'd make it there in time and if she's even coming. So
I have no doubt that she'll probably be there.
A lot of people are making a big deal out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas has got bets on it, I bet.
I have no doubt that that'll be one of the Super Bowl bets.
All right. How's that for episode 2 of Two Guys Weigh In podcast?
That seemed like a good episode. Big thanks once again to PK Egan's of Canby, Minnesota for sponsoring our podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you are in need of a pizza, make sure to check them out because they do a great job over there.
And a great salad bar. My wife loves their salad bar over there.
They do have a great salad bar.
If you got pickled herring on a salad bar, that's a good salad bar. All right, next time, Mitchell.
Yep, next Wednesday. We do a new release every Wednesday, so make sure that next Wednesday you check us out. And that's Two Guys Weigh In Podcast, Mitchell Silty and Paul Ramo.